And yet, I'm not guilty. That's the tragedy of it, he thought. Oh, dear, he muttered despairingly, as he recalled the most painful details of the quarrel. The worst moment had been when, returning home from the theatre, merry and satisfied, with an enormous pear in his hand for his wife, he did not find her in the drawing-room, nor, to his great surprise, in the study, but at last saw her in her bedroom with the unlucky note which had betrayed him in her hand. She sat there, the careworn, ever-bustling, and, as he thought, rather simple Dolly, with the note in her hand and a look of terror, despair, and anger on her face. "What is this?" "This," she asked, pointing to the note. And, as often happens, it was not so much the memory of the event that tormented him as of the way he had replied to her. At that moment there had happened to him what happens to most people when unexpectedly caught in some shameful act. He had not had time to assume an expression suitable to the position in which he stood toward his wife now that his guilt was discovered. Instead of taking offence, denying, making excuses, asking forgiveness, or even remaining indifferent, anything would have been better than what he did. He involuntarily... Reflex action of the brain, thought Oblonsky, who was fond of physiology, smiled his usual kindly and therefore silly smile. He could not forgive himself for that silly smile. Dolly, seeing it, shuddered as if with physical pain, and with her usual vehemence burst into a torrent of cruel words and rushed from the room. Since then she had refused to see him. "It's all the fault of that stupid smile," thought Oblonsky. "And what am I to do? What can I do?" he asked himself in despair, and could find no answer. Chapter 2 Oblonsky was truthful with himself. He was incapable of self-deception and could not persuade himself that he repented of his conduct. He could not feel repentant that he, a handsome, amorous man of 34, was not in love with his wife, the mother of 5 living and 2 dead children, and only a year younger than himself. He repented only of not having managed to conceal his conduct from her. Nevertheless, he felt his unhappy position and pitied his wife, his children, and himself. He might perhaps have been able to hide things from her had he known that the knowledge would so distress her. He had never clearly considered the matter, but had a vague notion that his wife had long suspected him of being unfaithful and winked at it. He even thought that she, who was nothing but an excellent mother of a family, worn out, already growing elderly, no longer pretty, and in no way remarkable, in fact, quite an ordinary woman, ought to be lenient to him, if only from a sense of justice. It turned out that the very opposite was the case. How awful! Oh, dear, how awful! Oblonsky kept repeating to himself and could arrive at no conclusion. And how well everything was going on till now! How happily we lived! She was contented, happy in her children. I never interfered with her, but left her to fuss over them and the household as she pleased. Of course, it's not quite nice that she had been a governess in our house. That's bad. There's something banal, a want of taste in carrying on with one's governess. But then, what a governess! He vividly pictured to himself Mademoiselle Roland's roguish black eyes and her smile. Besides, as long as she was in the house, I never took any liberties. The worst of the matter is that she is already... Why need it all happen at once? Oh, dear, 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 what am I to do? He could find no answer, except life's usual answer to the most complex and insoluble questions. The answer is... Live in the needs of the day, that is, find forgetfulness. He could no longer